الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. This particular program is going to be a continuation of the episode that I talked about in the last episode. I'm going to talk about more of the same topic or subject in this episode, which is talking about the jobs of the angels. And so you have to listen to a previous episode about the jobs of the angels. And then I'm going to go, this is going to be number two, or part two of that same particular subject. And so let's get started. From our very beginning, the angels are with us throughout our lives. From when we are born and we die, the angels are there. Everything in between, the angels are there with us. The angels are not, as some people may think, the daughters of Allah. No, that's not the case. They are creations of Allah. Allah created man from a clot, and he created what you call jinn. It's another being from smokeless fire, and created the angels from nur, or light. Now let me start from the beginning. That is, the angels are there in the wombs of the mother when we are inside the womb. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, Allah has appointed an angel in the womb. And the angel says, O Lord, a drop of discharge, meaning sperm. O Lord, a clot. O Lord, a piece of flesh. And then, if Allah wishes to complete the child's creation, the angel will say, O Lord, a male or a female. O Lord, wretched or blessed, meaning in religion. What will his livelihood be? What will his age be, meaning when he die, how long would he live? And the angel writes all this while the child is in the womb of his mother. I just wanted to mention that beginning, the angels are there with us, and then waiting for Allah to make a decision. Male, is going to be a male or female, and then their livelihood and all these other things that I mentioned earlier, the angel waits for Allah to say, okay, this is his or her assignment for life. Then you have in chapter 32, verse 11, again, chapter 32, verse 11 in your Quran, which you should have that with you at all of our classes. And so that's the only text that is required for this class. And so it says in this particular verse of this particular chapter, say, the angel of death, Israel, is assigned for you, will carry off your souls and bring you back to your Rabb, to your Lord. That's the job of the angel of death. That's his job, is to what? Is to bring your soul back to Allah. And basically, I'll give you the shortest version of that. And that is, you may come to Allah a believing person, or may come to Allah a disbelieving person. And so for the disbelieving person, the angel of death will sort of snatch the soul from the body. And the soul is trying to hold on, not leaving the body, because pretty much you're probably aware of what's going to happen to it. So it try to hold on to it. And so one explanation is that when the soul is taken from the body and the soul is trying to hang in there, and it's like sort of like veins or nerves start snapping away at the soul is pulled away, separated from the body. And then it's wrapped up in a sort of a cloth, a woolen, harsh cloth, and not smelling very, very well, very good, from the hellfire, and they are taken up to the first heaven, because it's seven of them, and an angel there that's a guardian said, like, what is that? Who is this? What is this smile thing I smell? And this is so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And he said, you know, no way, this thing cannot enter here. And so it would be thrown back in the body, this disbelieving soul. And the person who is a believer, believes in Allah, their soul is taken out very gently. It's like water running through a faucet, for example. And they will be wrapped from a cloth from paradise, sweet-smelling cloth. And then the angel will carry them up to the first heaven. And he said, what is that with? Who's with you? And it's so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And he had this sweet smell to it, lovely smell to it. And angels really was to pick you up as a believing person and pass you around to each other because they all want to touch you and smell you. Then we'll go to this next heaven, and the same questions will be asked, and everything will be the same about the sweet smell, that kind of thing, son of so-and-so. And so we'll keep and get it until the soul gets to the seventh heaven. But I won't get into that. That's really not the class for the day. So those are some of the things that happen to a person. The person on the, when you talk about a person, they die, and they're in how they interact with the angels, and an angel bringing them from level to level, out just one level, they can't get any more and any further, and then they take them up to another level, and they of course can get into that level. I mentioned to you all before last time we had a class on this subject, and it was talking about basically in chapter 50 verse 17. Chapter 50, verse 17. And so you have another job of the angels, as it says in this particular chapter, as the two recording angels, one sitting on the right and the other sitting on the left, they note everything. They're writing down everything that we say and everything that we do. And I mentioned this last time, is that even what I'm saying right now to you is that the angels are writing what I'm saying to you, regarding the angels. And so you have one on your right, one on your left, and one on your left writing down your bad deeds, one on your right writing down your good deeds, and they write everything. And also keep in mind, my students, is that the angels, they never leave you. So let me say it in this way. Son of Umar, Ibn Umar reported, Allah, Messenger of Peace be upon him, said, avoid being naked. So what do I mean by that? And it says, avoid being naked, for with you are those who never leave you, the recording angels, except when you are relieving yourself or when a man has intercourse with his wife, or they should observe modesty before them and honor them. So we should not be basically naked, because the angels, they see this kind of thing. So be as modest as possible, but they never leave you because they're all recording everything. Of course, when you're leaving yourself or you have a sexual wife, that kind of thing, all right, they leave you. But other times, the angels are with you and part of your life, really, until death. And so let me mention something else, and that is, and I mentioned to you about heaven and hell, or the hellfire. And so it also mentioned in one of the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, and peace be upon him, Ibn Mas'ud reported, Allah's Messenger as saying, Jahannam, meaning the hell or hellfire, will be brought on that day, meaning day of judgment, having 70 ropes, if you will, or rings, is R-E-I-N. If you will, and each will be pulled by 70,000, and each will be pulled by 70,000 angels. So you have 70,000 ropes, if you will, pulling out the hellfire, and on each rope would be 70,000 angels pulling the hellfire before us. We're standing there, we're naked and uncircumcised, and all of a sudden this big flame of the hellfire will be presented to us, and none of us want to go there, so you have to do as much good as possible so you won't be one of the occupants, or that won't be your place, your abode, or where you're going to live, meaning the hellfire. And so that will be brought out by all these angels. And so the other thing I want to mention in terms of the angels to my beautiful students, and that is the angels also control the mountains. So what do I mean by angels controlling the mountains? One time the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, I think I may have mentioned this last time in our last episode, is that he went to a place called Taif. I did mention this. And he went to the place called Taif to tell the people about Islam. And then the people sick the children on them and chased them out, pelting him with stones. And then the angel came to him, and an angel that's in control of the mountains, because this particular town was between two mountains. And he said, Prophet Muhammad, just give me the command, or give me an order, whatever, and now smash this town up. Between these two mountains, I would make these mountains come together, and the town be between the both of them. And he said, if you all remember from the last class when I talked about this topic, and he said, no, don't do that, because out of them may come children, their children who may become Muslim. And so you have angels that are in charge or in control of a lot of different things. I want to mention to you that there's an angel that's all control of thunder. And we know how we feel when the thunder takes place, the rain and the thunder and the light that takes place, a lot of angels have control over that. And we know what thunder does to us. And probably for many of us, if not all of us, thunder kind of get this kind of eerie feeling inside of us, scary feeling inside of us. What's going to happen next for us after this thunder clap? And so you all pretty much know what I'm talking about. If you don't know now, maybe you know later when the thunder comes and you hear the thunder, and maybe you'll be more aware of what's happening to me, or I'm not feeling at ease because of this thunder clapping above my head or outside of my home. And so I just want to mention it to my students regarding the angels. Another job of the angels is that when a person visits someone who is sick, are you visiting someone who is sick? And so it mentioned that when a man goes to visit his sick Muslim brother, for example, he walks along a path of paradise until he sits. And when he sits, he is clothed in mercy. And if he comes in the morning, 70,000 angels pray for him until evening. And if he comes in the evening, 70,000 angels pray for him until morning. This is such a blessed time to visit someone who is sick, someone who don't know what's going on, if they're going to live or die, what's going on with them, and you visit them. It kind of builds their spirit, make them feel good to have you there with them, and to visit with them. It's short visit, long visit. Some say that it's best to have a short visit and don't make it too long, because the person, I know for myself personally, when I was in the hospital and the nurses and the doctors, they come in my room, and other people come into my room visiting me, and they wanted to work with me until I became better. But the thing is, I didn't get a lot of rest. Then I had people visit me. I welcomed them to visit me, but But what I'm saying is that you don't know if that person has visitors all day long, and they got a break and taking a little rest. And then you come to visit, which is a good thing, but then again, you stay as short as possible so the person can get some rest. Even while you're sitting there sometime, some of the hospital staff, they come in and they take vitals and they do their job, and a lot of hospitals, they do very good jobs. And so I'm just saying, when you go to visit a person, a lot of times it's best to visit them in a short amount of time so they can get some rest or eat their lunch or their breakfast or food or something like that. So I just want you to keep that in mind when you're going to visit someone who is sick. But I can't tell you how long to stay, and I'm not really trying to tell you that. I'm just making a suggestion, and you decide how you want to go forward with your visit with this individual. But I'm gonna go ahead and move on, because I won't dwell on that for a long time. And so, some of my beautiful students, I think I'm going to stop right here, and just want to mention some other things in terms of the jobs of the angels. They have many jobs. They're going to be with us from life, from when we begin life until our death. They come and take our soul. And I mentioned to you before that they take up us to the various heavens. For those who are believing in Allah and those who are disbelievers, we don't even get in the first gate. The angels also will come. One of the other jobs is they come to you in your grave, and they command you to sit up. Don't ask me how that happened, because you're laying in your grave, laying in your coffin, something like that. I won't get into that. They tell you to sit up, and then they ask you at least three questions, and prayerfully we will all answer the questions, in a positive way that's going to save us from further torment inside the grave. And so the angels are with us when we're born, and angels are with us when we die, and even in our graves, the angels are there doing their job, and they're going to do their job. No hesitation about that. No, maybe I'll do it now, I'll do it later. I'll do it for some, won't do it for others, and no discrimination when it comes to the job, doing the job of the angels, because they're going to do their job, because they're very obedient to Allah. You have been listening to the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your host, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.